Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hanging out here at RGS Exteriors. Place is hopping, man. A lot of people coming by, enjoying the food. Waffle fries is not something I knew existed until now. Churro fries.
Yeah.
I'm very glad we discovered those.
I don't know what it is about food trucks, but they're typically a little bit innovative. They've got something that isn't real common. And Scotty and I are just biting into some of these tacos. Boy, they've got these dialed in. They've kind of got a shell that's cheese encrusted. You can tell they fry that shell on the griddle and then with a little bit of cheese. And then they load it up with smoked meats. So that's out here if you want to come experience a unique, incredible taco. Is that a deep-fried jalapeno that you're just testing right there? That looked like a deep-fried jalapeno.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah. And it's awesome.
It looked really good. It was battered and deep-fried.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that looks really good. But really good tacos. Come down. If you haven't eaten lunch, come down and have a taco off this taco truck and grab a piece of Jazz gear. We still have Jazz jerseys and probably four or five different kinds of Jazz shirts that are out on display.
Hey, I think somebody took our vintage bobblehead, too.
Bobblehead is off the table, and that needed to be. I'm surprised it wasn't the first thing gone.
All right, busy time for the Jazz after what was really a interesting game last night, where it looked like the Jazz were going to get blown out. Then it looked like they were a rebound away from winning the game. Are they able to corral that rebound? And I was watching with my wife, and Steph took that first shot. I'm like, it went out.
Yep.
And then the Golden State Warriors got the rebound and then flipped over Steph. I'm like, he's not missing twice.
If Vegas could have paused that right as it's leaving his hand, 2 feet away from his hand, and you had $1,000 you had to lay down on it, that second shot, and you didn't know the outcome of it, you'd have put the $1,000 on that going through.
Easy.
I'd have put the $1,000 on that going through. You can't give him two looks like that.
No.
You knew that second one was going to fall. As soon as that rebound, as soon as that got knocked out to the outside and then pushed into Steph Curry's hands, I was bummed that he had as much room as he had in that moment. But I understand it because it was a scramble for a 50-50. But I knew that ball was going to fall when it left his hands.
Yeah. I mean, I would have bet big money on the first shot.
Yeah.
Let alone the second shot.
Yeah. The second shot, you knew that was going to go through.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jazz, I mean, it would have been a fun win. It wasn't a must win for the Jazz. It sure would have been a nice win to have and pretty much all but put you in the driver's seat for that number one position.
Well, I talked about this in the opening segment, Scotty, and I'm impressed by Steph Curry. At times, Draymond Green impresses me. I think he's got some unique.
And you could tell Draymond had it. Like, Draymond wanted that one last night. There's certain games where you can tell Draymond wants to make a statement, and I think that was pretty easy to see last night.
Again, I think that game did mean a lot to him. But I didn't come out of that game thinking, oh, the Jazz are in trouble if they've got a first-round matchup against this Golden State team.
Yeah.
I came out of that game thinking, geez, add two more perimeter defenders, add another fourth-quarter closer, add, your two biggest volume shooters, your two highest usage, offensive usage players back into that lineup. Add your two all-stars. Add the guy that has been around the league the longest on this roster and has been around postseason the longest, and Mike Conley. And I don't really fear this Golden State team in the first round.
It would sure be a heck of a statement if you knocked out Golden State in the first round, though.
See, and that's the point that David brought up, that it is a very stark reminder. There are players and individuals and coaches that just understand postseason flow. And I'm hoping that the Jazz learned something last year in the first round against Denver. With a 3-1 advantage.
Yeah.
Every player that's on this roster was a part of that bubble for the most part.
Outside of Boyan. You know, it's an interesting point David's making because, when we went back and last year when there were no sports and we were all watching The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, it kind of reminded me of what it was like seeing teams back then have to win a title. So the Boston Celtics were great, and it took the Detroit Pistons a long time to knock them off their throne. But when they did, they went on and win a title. And then it was Detroit that was reigning supreme. And then the Bulls, it took them a while to learn how to knock off the Detroit Pistons. And when they did, they knocked them off the pedestal, and then the Bulls took over. But it was always a process. It just didn't happen overnight. You had to get your hand slapped by them a couple times before you figured out how to beat them. And then at that point, you took care of business. And so to David's point, he's saying, look, this Jazz team, they've never beaten they've never beaten Curry and Draymond in a playoff series. They've never beaten LeBron in a playoff series. Do they know how to do that? Can they do that when it's their time to shine, even if they're a one seed and they're an eight seed, or you're a two and they're a seven? But you bring up a good point. It wasn't the Lakers and it wasn't Golden State, but it was Denver, and you blew a 3-1 lead. And that's been sitting in your gut for a long, long time. And I think that playoff experience is something you draw from when you play one of those two teams in the playoffs.
Absolutely. You'll never be the same after going through something like
yeah.
That's an experience that will sit on you like a bag of concrete on your shoulders. You will never get rid of that. You'll never forget the feeling of having the greatest advantage in playoffs, in the playoffs. I mean, outside of a 3-0, that 3-1, you know, we just haven't seen teams come back from a 3-1. And it's not like they had to leave their home court. This was a completely different scenario, having everything based in Florida.
Yeah.
And for them to lose that is a terrible feeling, and I promise you it is on the top of their mind, and those guys will be talking about it as they get started in the playoffs coming up here in a week and a half. They will. They'll be talking about that 3-1. And they'll be reminding each other, this will never happen to us again. Don't care who we see. When we get to that level of advantage, we have to figure out a way to finish. Because David made the point, one of the most difficult things to do against a veteran is finish him.
Yeah.
Because they know how to hang on. They know how to survive. Attrition comes easily to them, or easier to them.
Who was the one that made the comparison to a, Freddie or Michael or whoever in a
Coach Lacombe, I think.
Yeah, it was right. It was Timmy who said that. Look, you know, when you've got the, you just can't put two bullets into the bad guy, the bad guy, and then walk away and think everything's fine, because they're going to come up and then they're going to stab you, mm-hmm. and the movie's not going to end well for you. You got to finish them off.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Those three have a real good understanding of what it takes to outlast. So that when you are in a 1-3 situation, I was a little bit surprised Denver came back from a 1-3.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have anybody on the court that had ever been in that type of pressure cooker. But all of a sudden they rose to the heights that they rose to. One in particular, Jamal Murray, and did what they did inexplicably.
Yeah.
But the thing is Golden State knows it. Golden State had the same situation taking on LeBron James. Steph Curry has experienced that, but
yeah.
in a much bigger setting.
NBA Finals.
In the NBA Finals.
They overcame a 3-1 in the series before in the Western Conference Finals when they were down Oklahoma City to 3-1, came back, won that series, and then gave up a 3-1.
In the finals.
So the weird playoffs, man.
Well, either way, Scotty, I've got a grin on my face because I know that this is a crazy first round matchup, or if it is the Jazz and Golden State, which there's a good chance it might be. That's a pretty fun first round series. With the Jazz playing as well as they are, and Golden State really being down to Draymond Green and Steph Curry, You're getting some from Poole off the bench. You're getting some from Wiggins in the starting five. But it really does come down to those guys. Bazemore did a couple things last night defensively. And it is a good defensive team. I don't want to take that away from them. But I think that the Jazz, when they've got their two all-stars that sit in the backcourt, when those guys are back, I think they've got the advantage. And I think it's a very, very clear Jazz advantage.
Yeah.
And I said it in the first segment, and I would stand by it. If it was announced tomorrow that it was Jazz and Golden State, I've got a five-game series.
How crazy.
As long as Conley
and Mitchell are back and healthy. Yeah. That'd be awesome. I just think that it's going to be tough. I'd say six. I still think the Jazz win. I think it goes six or seven. But just know that everybody in the NBA is going to be rooting against them. Like, the Jazz are going to be public enemy number one.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody outside the state of Utah is going to want to see the Jazz pass the first round.
Including the officials that are on the court.
Not saying, just saying.
We'd like to welcome back this official into our officiating lineup. Tim Donaghy will be officiating this first series.
Just for one series? Welcome to Game 7. It's the Jazz and the Warriors. And coming in for one game tonight, Tim Donaghy.
Could you imagine?
Oh, man.
I could see the NBA wanting. NBA wants Golden State. Of course they do. By the way, David's right. This play-in tournament, it will be the most watched games definitely through this regular season. Probably in NBA non-playoff history. When we're watching this play-in tournament that they've got. So the league's got all kinds of reasons to keep this thing in place in the coming years. It doesn't matter what Donovan Mitchell or Luka Doncic or LeBron James, you know, some of your top stars in the league are talking about right now. It's just fun. It's more enjoyable to have the 9 and 10 in play.
It's going to be a blast. I can't wait for the playoffs to start. I'm just kind of going through the motions, and I think maybe the Jazz and a lot of teams are just going through the motions because we just want to get this thing started. What a season. It's been a weird year. It's been a bizarre season, but it's almost over.
We're really close.
Let's go. Hands and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Who says the man doesn't have any hustle? You see where that speed comes from.
Hey, where do you think Thomas got his speed from?
I know.
Hey. Bro, I got a 4.3 speed.
I love it.
Just in my mind.
Can I ask you this, though? Did you pull anything on your way over?
No, but I will fill it tonight.
Hey, a little sore.
We're not like we used to be.
Oh, man, getting old sucks.
It does. And, you know, coaching high school ball or wrestling, you know, you try to go out and roll around in the mat with the kids or go run and sprints. And it's like, dude, I suck. I can't do any of this.
Not happening, man.
It sucks to get old.
Yeah.
My 9-year-old loves football. So we'll go out there and we'll throw a little bit. And about a week ago, we were out there for a long time. But, you know, just throwing routes and stuff. You know, I'm not running or anything. I'm just throwing the ball to him. Next morning, I'm like, why is my right arm so sore?
Dude, sucks to
I'm
get
like,
old.
I'm like, wait
man.
A minute. No, it couldn't have been from
no,
that.
No, please tell me no.
Well, then you go – here's the problem, too, is then you go to the high school and then you go in the weight room, right? And you think, oh, I got it still.
Yeah.
And you go lift with these kids and you're fine that day. And then the next morning, it's like, what the f-
I'll never do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice check swing, by the way.
You're a good catch, Tim.
Well, then the problem is with my two boys, and they're, you know, tough suckers. And so I think, oh, I'm going to show dad's the boss still. Yeah, I can't even touch either one of them in the weight room anymore.
I think Brownie can throw up a few plates, can he?
Yeah, he can. Without his shoulder, that kid's yeah,
I know yeah. Talmadge was a wrestler. Is Brownie a wrestler?
He was. In fact, he probably would have been a state champion this year had he not torn his labrum. He missed the majority of the season. But, yeah, he was a really good wrestler, too.
Oh, those labrums will hold you back. Man.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk about some amazing things that we've got going on down here. First and foremost, man, congratulations on getting this finished. And the exteriors and the look of the building. It matches what your reputation and brand should say.
It is, and it's so nice. You know, just it's good, great to have a lot of people come today. A lot of our contractors and homeowners are coming by, seeing it's new. It's just the latest and greatest, and it's just different things that you just don't know or think about that exists. You see it in a magazine, or you see it on TV, or you know, see Joanna Gaines or whatever her name is do something. And you go, I want that. Well, we do everything here, so just come out, check it out, and we'll see what we can do for you.
Chip and JoJo, man, they
Chip
moved the meter.
That's right. You know, the problem is with the shows like that is how long does it take to do a whole house? 30 minutes, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. I mean, they do like the speed thing where they show everybody moving really fast.
It only takes 30 minutes to remodel a house.
Oh, yeah. Chip comes in and swings the sledgehammer like 3 times. Joanne comes in. She's like, I think that white will look nice. And then the next thing you know, they're pulling back the curtains on a rebuild. That's not exactly how it
goes. Not even remotely. But, you know, hey, look, it's that's the other thing we don't probably talk enough about as we've done all these spots throughout the years is that there's a process, right? And I think that it's a responsibility of us as contractors to explain that to the homeowners. Because, look, it's not just the final product that matters. It's the process. And it's one thing to be done and have a beautiful job, but you want to see how long is this going to take? What's it going to look like? When am I going to get phone calls? And that whole process, and that's really what we do. And you can see here we've got a whole team. Not only do we have all of our sales guys here, I think we got all eight of them here, and then we got our whole office staff up front. We're all here to help and make the process go from the day that, you know, you call out to get a bid till the day you sign us the final check. We want to make sure that we go through the whole process.
And one thing you mentioned too, that there's financing options available. There's a lot of ways you can help people make happen.
You know, the interest rates have never been as good as they are right now, and who knows how long they're going to be that way. And so we can help you out. You can get equity lines on your home, whatever it works, but don't let that hold you back, because the costs are never going to be as cheap as they are today. And I hate to say that a lot, but it's true. Costs just keep going up and keep going up and going up, but they're not coming down.
The only thing that's going to go up now is potentially rates.
It is. And so now's actually a really, really good time. You know, be patient. As you call the office, just be patient, because it may take us 2 weeks to get out to take a look at your home, and then, you know, maybe a few weeks to actually do it. But it's going to be worth the wait, and do it now. Get it at least organized and see what we can do.
I would suggest that people come down to this open house too, because you've got everybody who's kind of milling around the yard.
Yeah.
Plenty of people that you could come up and talk to, and you've got your staff out here. I would suggest people find Senior. And pick Senior's brain these things.
I dare somebody to do it on the radio. Come and just ask for Senior. Just talk to him. It's going to make him so uncomfortable. Or call ask for Brownie or Talmadge. Hey, just make him uncomfortable.
If a listener comes in with real siding needs and asks for Senior, Scotty and I will buy him a taco.
Oh, how about
not
that? You guys are generous.
We'll buy
I know,
him a
right?
We want
how about
to come
a Mountain
in.
Dew?
But you got to come ask for Senior.
Got to
come ask for Senior.
Come ask for him.
Come down here. We're live at RGS Exteriors. If it's on the outside of your home, they can make it happen for you. Whatever design you need, they work with you from a financial standpoint. So much going on right here. Let's come down and make it happen here at RGS Exteriors, 4235 Farm Road. It's just off Bangor. Come down, hang out with us right here on 97-1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix, how hard is it for these great athletes to come back from injury and go straight into the playoffs, which might be the case with Donovan?
I don't know what his timetable is, but if it means he might have to miss a playoff game to get all the way back, you make sure that he's all the way back. I mean, we just saw with LeBron, who had a nasty ankle sprain of his own, he probably came back too soon, and it wound up costing him a week, and that's the last thing you need if you're the Jazz. You've got to be very patient with Donovan Mitchell. And look, this is the benefit of being the number one seed. Presumably, you're going to get an opportunity to play somebody you should be able to handle without Donovan Mitchell for a game or maybe two.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
360!
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, time for another edition of Sports Roulette, brought to you by Davis Vision. During the month of January, or excuse me, during this month of May, you can save $1,000 off LASIK. Call right now, 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080, or you can check them out online at davisvisionmd.com. All right. We got a lot of stories on the old wheel, Hans. Lloyd, let's fire it up.
Scotty mentioned this yesterday.
So I wanted to just kind of get, because you briefly mentioned it right in the middle of an interview. So Ryland Jones is in fact transferring to Utah State.
He sent out the tweet with the graphics and all the things the kids do these days. Yes, he is entered the portal. I think on Friday the announcement was made that he was entering the portal, leaving the University of Utah. And yesterday announced on Twitter that he will be signing with Utah State.
How big of a get is this for Ryan Odoms?
Well, I think it's a big get because I will admit I'm a little biased on this one because I've known the Jones family for a long time. I've known Chris when he was at Utah, and then he went up to Utah State, and then went back to Utah. He played for Rick Majerus back in the day. So Jonesy's about as good of a human being on the planet. And his son was kind of, when he grew up, he was, you know, watching his dad coach at Utah State. So I've been around, I've known the for a little bit, and have a lot of respect for him. I think he's really, really good. He's a four-star recruit coming out. Was it Logan High, then finished up at Olympus High School. Four-star recruit, had a tremendous freshman season for Utah. And then last year his numbers dipped. I think he struggled with some things. Injuries were huge. Dealt with injuries all season long throughout the COVID thing. And so the numbers weren't great. And I think he saw the writing on the wall with Craig Smith bringing in some of his guys, particularly at the point guard position. And if you're not his guy and he's bringing in one of his guys, you can think, you know, think to yourself, I might not get a lot of opportunities here. And so he enters the portal and goes to Utah State. If he's replicates what he did his freshman season and builds off that, he'll be a very, very good Mountain West Conference player.
His freshman season, he averaged 10 points, 4.5 assists, and 3 rebounds.
Yeah. Remember that 25-point game he had against BYU, and they came back and and beat BYU in the Huntsman Center. So, and that was, I think, 6 or 7 games into his freshman year. I mean, the kid has a chance to be pretty special.
Two other transfers coming from UMBC with Coach Odom's R.J. Idle Rock and Brandon Horvath. Two potential good players for Utah State as well. It's just tough. Utah State, both basketball and football, it's a puzzle.
It really is.
And it's going to take some time for it to all come together.
I don't think that's how it's going to be more often than not in football, but basketball, I think everybody's going to be like this. With the way that the world is in college basketball, where you have a year, you lose a bunch of guys, and you bring in a bunch of guys. And I think that's there's going to be a lot of teams year in and year out that sees their team get imploded, and then they build it right back up again, and then they go through the same thing the next year. When you've got, I don't know, 1,400 kids in a transfer portal, it's going to look like that.
Yep.
All right, Lloyd, spin it.
A new excuse.
So, Scotty, Medina Spirits owner Bob Baffert, has bagged the groomer urinating on hay and Medina Spirit eating that hay, and he's got a new excuse. You ready for this?
Yeah.
He said Medina Spirit was treated for dermatitis with an ointment once a day leading up to the May 1st race, and that the equine pharmacology experts have told him this could explain the test results. Baffert said that the horse tested positive for 21 picograms of the substance, which is typically given to horse therapeutically to help their joints, and is an isolation even at a trace amount on a race day in Kentucky. So this came from a ointment that was prescribed by a dermatitis or a
dermatologist.
Yes.
A horse dermatologist?
Yeah, apparently. You buy that one? It's easier than
it's
the groomer.
Better than the than urinating in hay after drinking cough medicine. So, by the way, this horse will be allowed to run in the Preakness. They will do some pre-race testing, but he's got for some reason the Preakness, and I think the Preakness is thinking to themselves, there's going to be a lot of people watching now. So let's let this horse run. We'll test him before, make sure he's clean. And but they're going to let him run in the Preakness. A little surprising.
What if the second test comes back negative? Aren't we still waiting on the second test? Or has the
Is there an A and B sample? I haven't heard that.
Yeah. So you know you've got two samples. If one sample comes back positive, you've got to put in B sample. If B sample comes back negative, then I think they throw the whole thing out.
Wow, interesting.
So I think we're still waiting on that.
Lloyd, spin it.
DK is fast.
So DK Metcalf, the wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks, he is about 6'4". He's about 240 pounds. Considered still at that size to be one of the fastest NFL players in the league. I think he ran like a 4.32 at the combine or something like that. And at his size, he's just a monster. Well, without doing any training, he accepted an invitation to run in the 100-meter men's Olympics Olympic trials. And you ready to see the video on this?
Yeah.
So he's in the two slot, and he finishes ninth, but he ends up running a 10-3 400 meter, and look at the size difference. I know this doesn't make for great radio. He's at the two, but look at the size difference between him and everybody else that's running this race.
400 or 100?
I think it's the 100.
Oh, the 100. Oh man, he's big.
Yeah, that is a big... And he hangs with him.
Yeah, he does.
He hangs with him.
Right until about the 15-20-yard finish mark.
A lot of people thought he'd run like a 10-8.
Yeah.
He ends up running a 10-3.
That's really impressive. You know, I was thinking about DK Metcalf just in as a whole, as far as an athlete goes, he might be one of the more supreme athletes in the world right now.
And these guys have been these are the fastest dudes on the planet. And they've been training for this. He came out of – I mean, he's only a couple months removed from an NFL season. He hasn't done any training whatsoever, lined up, got in the blocks, and hung in there with all of them.
Hung with them out of the blocks, hung with them for the first 30, maybe 40 yards out of the blocks, probably second or third in that first 40 to 50-yard stride.
Yeah.
And it's that cruise. It's that final gear that those sprinters can shift into that you could see DK just doesn't have.
Yeah.
That final gear is a beautiful thing on a sprinter. And it's not that I'm a big fan of sprinters. I think that track and field is probably the most lame event that you've got out there in the sports world. And that's not an attack. It's just, you're running and you're throwing a heavy thing. Like, it's just not my favorite.
Yeah.
But there is some extreme beauty to the pure athleticism that is involved in running. And there is this strider gear that, you hit at a certain point that guys like Usain Bolt, I can't remember who the sprinter is I was listening to talk to about this. You know, Scotty, they each have the amount of strides or steps that they take in that given distance. And they know the exact number.
Yeah.
And for most sprinters, just for an example, I think it was somewhere around 62 or 64. And for Usain Bolt, it's like 54, 55.
Wow.
And that's that, that length that he starts hitting. That's just something that DK just doesn't have as a football player and a non-sprinter.
But, this was all just a gimmick. It was all just for fun. And I saw some people think he's not going to do any better than a 10-8, a 10-9.
10-3.
And to do a 10-3 and hang in there with these dudes, I thought was just incredible.
Really impressive.
And by the way, outweighing these guys by about 50, 60 pounds.
like if you put any of these guys on a bench press, I bet they can't do 125.
Yeah.
DK's out there at 380.
And they're working on the – like, hey, just take the plates off. Like, give me the bar. Let's go.
It was an impressive run.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Lloyd, let's sneak in one more.
Tragic news out of the NFL.
Yeah, Colt Brennan, a lot of people remember him as the Hawaii quarterback, the June Jones. I think they were another team that went to the BCS. They played Georgia in a BCS game. I think he probably overtook a lot of Ty Detmer's old records at BYU for passing in a season, passing yards, touchdowns. Got into the league, hung around the league for a little bit. I think played for the Washington football team for a little bit. Today passed away at the age of 37.
37 years young, and he's gone. And this is from Yahoo Sports, so don't hold this against me if it's inaccurate reporting. This is from Yahoo Sports. They said, Hawaii News now reported that details about his passing were not immediately available. Believed to have been at a rehabilitation in California at the time of his death. That's the only details that I've been able to find or to see in this, when you see a 37-year-old passing and where we're, a couple of years past 37, you're like, whoa, what happened here?
Yeah.
What, the curiosity gets you. And it sounds like there were some other circumstances that took him, but that's so young. And he was good, man.
Yeah.
In college, he was just incredible. And I hope that his family and friends and anybody that was involved or a part of his life. I hope that they can find a little bit of peace today, because that'd be a tough one.
Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, live here at RGS Exteriors. We'll talk more about that coming up next, right here on The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Tim Roy joining us, longtime radio play-by-play voice of the Golden State Warriors. I'm curious what you think of the Jazz possibilities of going from out in the first round to they get to a conference final, an NBA final, or a championship? What are you thinking?
I think for the Jazz, the karma and the cards are falling into place here. I think the door is wide open for Utah to take this year. And when I'm looking at their numbers and looking at their personnel, it reminds me of a Warriors team. I think the door is open. I think it's wide open. And there's not a team in the East, I think, that I would be totally terrified of. I think the door is open for Utah.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. By the way, the thing about Twitter that's kind of funny is the realization that you can have some fun, but you don't have to be like a downer. Like Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball writer for ESPN, tweeted out that the Oakland A's will start exploring relocation possibilities after Major League Baseball suggested the organization consider moving to other cities if the Howard Terminal Stadium proposal is not approved by local politicians. All right, number one, Oakland's not going anywhere. This is, as you mentioned during the break, this is a threat.
Yeah.
They're throwing it out there so that, because they've already lost the Raiders, and the A's are saying, build us a new stadium, which they need one because the old stadium's a dump. And they're saying, build us a new stadium or we're out, and we're going to go somewhere else. And they might, you know, look, that happened to the Chargers. They tried to get a new stadium and threatened to leave, and finally they never got their stadium, and they did leave. So, I mean, they could follow through, but as of right now, I highly doubt that's going to happen. But, you know, they sent out the tweet. So, you know, people have fun on Twitter, and I wrote out, you know, hey, look, the A's, the Salt Lake City, man, you know, we can dream, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, it'll never happen. We know, of course, it's not going to happen. Calm down. We can have some fun here. I know it's not happening.
You're getting a negative response on
that? Oh, just some people that want to be just a buzzkill. It's going to be Vegas or Portland. I know it'd probably be Vegas or Portland. But come on, calm down here. Let's have some fun.
You think it'd do well here?
I think so. I mean, look. It's got one of the best economies in the country. You got now the big knock was, and I remember talking to Larry H. Miller about this, you know, 15 years ago when I'd fill in doing those weekly interviews. He wanted desperately to bring Major League Baseball in. He's a huge baseball fan, but he also knew that we didn't have the corporate dollars to really support it at that time. I actually think with a lot of the technology sector that's come in, I do think we're getting very close to having the technology or the corporate dollars to be able to support a baseball team.
Sure feels that way, doesn't it?
But again,
it feels like our state has really grown, and it really could take on a project like that. I would love it. I think professional sports in states and in cities make a huge difference. I just look at what the Jazz mean to Salt Lake City and how they're kind of central for everything that this community does and the role that they play. And you throw in Major League Baseball, or even better, an NFL team, and it just improves community relations. It improves activities, and I think it generates billions of dollars in local economies. And it would be nothing but good if it ever happened. Now, to your point, this is just Oakland trying to position. They're not actually looking at moving from Oakland, but it is okay to dream. And it would be awesome.
It'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to have us, you know, having a sport to cover all year long. You know, the Jazz in the fall, winter, and spring, baseball, spring, summer, into fall.
Yeah. It would not suck.
And then we'd have to learn about baseball. But that's all right. We'd figure it out.
Oh, it would suck. Yeah, we would. We'd have to learn a lot more about baseball.
Tim, we're not baseball guys. I don't know if that surprises you or not.
I'm not a baseball guy either. I love other sport, but
man, you come across to me like Mr. Universal, like Mr. Everything Sport.
I love sports, but baseball, you know, when I was a kid, WGN had the Cubs on, right? So I was a Cubs fan,
yeah.
And then that's the only sport I don't really follow anymore. I love October baseball, but that's about it.
I love that you're building athletes. I know you're building athletes because your boys wrestled.
There you go, baby.
And that does. That builds an athlete, no question.
You know, my youngest son's coming in high school this year and a decent football player, but I told him he didn't have a choice. He had to wrestle, and he hates wrestling. He hates it. Tell him, you don't have a choice, bro. You're wrestling.
It just changes. It changes.
You don't have
kids
a choice.
World. Did you really?
I told him that. He's all my other kids liked it, but he doesn't like it. I said, I don't care.
He'll like it. He just needs to win a few times.
Well, that's the problem. Is he gets his trash kicked. And yeah.
It's not fun if you're not winning.
When you first wrestle, too, especially he's going to be a freshman this year, you know, wrestling all the – and he's going to probably be like a 182, so he's going to be wrestling these big seniors. He's just going to get the trash kicked out of him.
What weight did Thomas wrestle?
195. And Sutter Brown, they were both 195s in high school.
And as they got older or throughout?
Thomas started as a 70, and then he wrestled a 95 the last 3 years. Brownie, believe it or not, was a 132 his first year. And then
really?
A 126? Oh, he was a 126, and then he finished up at 95. But
then the genes kick in.
And then the genes kicked in. And Brownie's already he's 13. He's not rock size, but he's already 170 pounds, so he's going to get there.
What weight class is Snickerdoodle?
That's the one that's 170.
He's the 170.
Yeah. He's going to love that he heard Snickerdoodle on the radio. He's going to love that.
So whatever you need to do on the outside of your home, you can make it happen.
You know, look, here's the thing. It's been kind of fun today, just kind of more relaxed. But we're here to help anything on the outside of the home. We've had a lot of people come through. A lot of our vendors come through, a ton of builders and just homeowners, anybody come by. But the reality of it is we can come and do the same thing in your home. Come out. Let's look at your house. Let's see what we can do. And let's put something together for you.
You know, we haven't talked a lot about this today, but this is probably a good time to get on the schedule because I know you guys are out a little bit. But if you came through the winter and you had some rain gutter issues and some freezing and stuff like that, now's a great time to call, get on the schedule. You know, even if it's a few weeks or, you know, whatever long it takes, you can get on because you know that you've got a few months before you might have to worry about that.
Yeah, the problem is that we're just coming up. Everyone had all these issues on their gutters. They fell off, they leaked, they froze, gutter plugged with leaves, debris, whatever. Well, then you get now and you kind of forget about
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yeah.
But get it done now. Don't wait till October because if you call us in October, we're not going to be able to see you till February. So give us a call now and let's look at it.
It's amazing how siding can just transform a home. You take an old home with new siding and it just – transforms it.
It is amazing. Even like at our shop here, just seeing the transformation and how much it's changed in the last little bit here. But if you really go back and you look at a house and do it before and after, it's amazing. Even just sometimes a thing of paint, or I know we joked earlier about painting a brick white, but just little things like that can dramatically change the house.
Hey Tim, does redoing siding, does it carry or resell? Can you hold your value on that?
It's a really good question. So James Hardy siding specifically, they haven't done any research on the other products, but a remodeling magazine every year does what they call cost versus value. So basically, whatever you put into your home, what you're going to get back.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, last year, James Hardy was the number one thing, period, that you could put on your home that you get back
get
in a resale.
Get the money back.
It used to always be kitchens.
Yeah.
But this last year, for the first year ever, James Hardy siding took that over.
Wow.
Even over kitchens. So because kitchens used to be what everybody cared about. When they do, I mean, don't get me wrong, they still do. But James Hardy siding now is actually the number one thing. So it's one of the biggest cost versus values that you can do.
Well, and I mean, let's be honest. People are if you've got your home and, you know, if somebody's trying to buy a home right now, good luck on that. But if you've got your home, you're sitting on a good chunk of equity just based on the last year alone.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, so much equity in your home. You literally could, anything we do on the outside of your home, you're going to get back tenfold.
Yeah.
And right now, you're going to, whether you sell or you keep, you're going to get it back. And the thing is James Hardy is just what everyone's doing now. And it's amazing what just a little bit of that can do.
Yeah.
One of our niches is really tearing stucco down and then replacing it with the Hardy.
You mentioned the stucco era is probably starting to come to an end.
I mean, we do a ton of it. Believe it or not, I mean, I've got, you know, 20 guys doing stucco all day every day, even though I don't love it. But we do it. But Hardy is definitely what we prefer. And even, like, one thing you can see here, there's a lot of metal siding. We do a lot of mix. Like, you'll do the majority of the James Hardy siding on your house, but then do, like, an accent wall in metal or something custom, something unique.
Is stucco a more cost-efficient? What is the draw for
Absolutely. It's hands down the best, most cost-effective product no question.
How is it with, like, heating and cooling on the interior? Does it keep the heat out?
It doesn't really change much. You don't really have an R value on stucco. It's so thin. Even if you do an EFIS system, which is basically just a foam-based system before you put that on there, you're going to get about an R2. So
does Hardy help in that?
Not necessarily. I mean, not really. Yeah. I'd love to say it does, but it really doesn't. But what can and what is more is the way we do the watertight house wrap. So we put the house wrap on, we flash it and tape all the joints. You're going to get an automatic wind barrier just from that alone, so that'll help.
Well, and the other point, too, is, I mean, look, a lot of people can do James Hardy, but you are the only, preferred?
We're the only elite preferred contractor in Utah. So, and in fact, we're the only preferred contractor. There's not even one of those. There used to be one, but they've dropped off, so we're the only elite preferred James Hardy contractor in Utah.
Well, come on down here, RGS Exteriors. It's where we'll be for the next hour or so, but you'll be here still serving up food for a bit, right?
We'll be here. Come by, get some food, get some brownies, some mint cookies.
Oh, we didn't see those.
The best. Oh, you guys don't want to see those. You don't want to stop. But it's okay. They're calorie-free and they're sugar-free.
just like the churro fries.
Yep,
huh?
It's okay. You can have as much as you want. It doesn't make us fat or anything. It's
not at all.
Great news. This is great news.
Yeah. Hey, we serve. That's the great part about RGS.
That's right.
We give you cookies that taste amazing. There's no sugar, no calories, no nothing. At least that's what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, that's all we need. That's all you need to know. RGS Exteriors, come by. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.